This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And isn't it a beautiful day? After all the rain that we've had, it's glorious to see the sun shining. It's wonderful to welcome you this morning to West End United Methodist Church, especially if you are visiting with us for the very first time. We're so glad that you're here and hope that you feel the warmth and welcome of Christ in this place. One of the ways that we get to know each other on Sunday mornings is by signing the registration pads. They're at the end of each row, and as you sign those and pass them down the row, it'll give you an opportunity to see the names of others sitting on your row and perhaps meet someone new today. If you are visiting with us and are looking for a church home, we invite you to come to Reed Hall, which is just out this doorway at the end of the service. There will be a welcome desk there and people wearing blue name tags. They're Andrew ministers, and they are there to welcome you and answer any questions you might have. If you're a college student, we'd love for you to come back at noon. We have college student lunch every Sunday at noon, and the students meet in the Reed Hall right after the late service, so that's a great opportunity. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we have our Teze service of worship. It will be in the sanctuary. And if you don't know what Teze worship is, it is a contemplative, prayerful service that involves a lot of music and will be a wonderful respite in the middle of a busy season. So we would love for you to come to that tonight. Also, during the season of Lent, every Thursday at noon, we have Lenten concerts followed by lunch. And the performers are posted in your insert and also on posters around the church. And that's a great way to have a little time of music and prayer in the middle of a work week. I believe that's it as far as our announcements go this morning. There are several others in your bulletin. Hope you'll pay attention to different ways that you can be growing and learning and communing in fellowship during this season of Lent. But now is the hour of worship. Christ is with us, so let us open our hearts and minds to hear the word of God, to sing the praises of God, to pray the prayers of the people, and be sent forth in God's name.
Thank you. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. As those gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, may we trust in God's grace as we confess our sins together. God of merciful love, here we are again, day after day, week after week, year after year, we come before you to admit our shortcomings. We confess that often we fail to love you. We forget to love our neighbors, and we do not want to love our enemies. Yet we return time and again because your forgiveness offers us hope. Your strength diminishes our weakness. Your goodness overcomes our evil doing. We confess that we need you daily. Your grace alone enables us to live our lives to the fullest. This is why we gather. Since we have a great priest, Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. And we would like to say today, as you pass the peace, and also as you greet on the way out the door, we know it's flu season, so if you don't want to shake hands, feel free to bump elbows or give a fist bump or just wave if you want to. So if you would, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the New Testament. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, and by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
the grown-ups can be seated and children of any age can come forward. This is one of my shoes. It's a walking shoe, and I'm going to tie it. I'm going to try to tie it with one finger all by itself. This is not going very well. Oh, I'm already using all my fingers here. So, okay, one hand. I'm going to try it with one hand all by itself. Oh, I got that loop. That's not working very well either. I remember one time I had a broken arm and I had a hard time. I had to have someone else tie my shoes. So I guess I need both hands, all my fingers. And look at that. Oop, it's tied. You know what that makes me think about? It makes me realize that there are some things that we just can't do alone. One little finger can't tie a shoe. One hand can't tie a shoe. I need all my fingers to help me do this. And that's sort of what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. We're not supposed to be a follower of Jesus all by ourselves. We need other people. We need the church to help us learn how much Jesus loves us and to work together with us to build a Habitat house and to do good things in the world. We really do need each other. So let's always remember that we can't follow Jesus alone. We need the church. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the church, which is not the building, but the people. And we thank you for all the people here who love us and teach us about your love. For all of these people we can work together with to make the world a better place. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. You can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or friends. I think that shoe was dirtier than I thought. I've been walking in the mud with all this rain. When I was in college, I stopped going to church for a little while. My freshman year, I was very disciplined about it. I joined the chapel choir, and every Sunday morning, I woke up and put on my church clothes and made that long, lonely walk across campus to the chapel. I was the only one, it felt like. It seems as if the whole rest of the campus were asleep. But I did that every Sunday morning until my sophomore year. And then I decided not to sing in the chapel choir, so I didn't really have responsibilities on Sunday morning, so most Sunday mornings I just decided to sleep in. But I continued to visit Bible studies here and there, or to visit churches here and there. I didn't have a car, so I had to go places within walking distance, and none of them were really a good fit. None of them felt like home. I tried a few of the campus Christian groups, and none of them felt like home. I wish, in retrospect, I'd gone to the Wesley Foundation, the Methodist Fellowship, but I never did. And so I just didn't find that place to call home, and I just stopped going. And I convinced myself I can still be a Christian and do this by myself. I can read my Bible, I can pray, I don't have to go to church. And years went by in my early adulthood, and I really didn't pray that much, and I didn't read my Bible like I thought I would. Ironically enough, in those years, that was when God called me to ministry. And so I told myself, okay, in a few years I'm going to go to seminary, and then I'll start going back to church. But all those years, I just didn't take part in a Christian family. And it wasn't until I was in my first day at seminary and we had our opening worship service for orientation. Some of you have heard me tell this story. And I was sitting there with all these other students and faculty, and Helen Pearson, the dean of students, stood up, and in her angelic way, she said to all of us, "Welcome to this place." And we began to sing a hymn, and I fell apart. Because in that moment, I realized how much I had missed the the family of God. How much I had missed being part of a community of believers who would surround me and sing with me and help me live and pray and learn and serve. I didn't know what I'd been missing until I came home. And I realized in that experience that it is necessary, it is vital to our faith that we gather. We are called to gather as the people of God. During this season of Lent, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be doing some self-examination as a congregation. Lent is a season when we're typically invited to reflect and do self-examination and explore what our motives are and what is driving us, where our brokenness is, where our sin might be. But I think it's important for us at times to do that as a people, as a congregation. And so we're going to be considering over these next 6 weeks why we do the things we do. So that it's not just out of habit that we get up and go to church. It's not just out of habit that we pray or serve or give, but that we really know the deep, life-giving reasons that we do these things. We gather because that's how God designed us. From day one, God has wanted to create a people. When God called Abraham and Sarah, way back in the book of Genesis, it wasn't just about Abraham and Sarah. God said, all of your descendants will be a special people, and I will have a special relationship with these people, with the people of Israel, for the sake of the world. But it was a relationship with a people, and the whole Old Testament is a story of God's relationship with the people of Israel. And then when Jesus comes along, he calls around him a people. Jesus was never a solo practitioner. He surrounded himself with not just the 12, but there were women who followed in that band of disciples. We know there were at least 70 of them because in Luke's gospel, Jesus sends them out, the 70, to the villages and towns. And he doesn't send them out one by one. He sends them out two by two. He teaches them to pray, saying, Our Father, not my Father, our Father. He said to them, Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you. And when the Holy Spirit came upon those believers, wherever the Holy Spirit moves in the book of Acts, there is a church that rises up. There is a people that gathers. So I think God has designed it that way from the very beginning. When God shows up, the people gather. Why might God have designed it that way? Well, I think there are several reasons. Some of them are practical reasons. I think God knows that gathering together is good for us. It's good for those of us who gather. This text we have from the book of Hebrews is written by a pastor, probably. We don't know who he was. Some think it was actually a sermon that he's preaching to a congregation that has grown tired. And there are some who are not showing up anymore. It may be because the persecution has gotten too severe. It may be because there was a lot of excitement in waiting for Jesus to come back, and that's been delayed and delayed, and now some of them are losing interest and losing urgency. But for whatever reason, the community is growing lackluster. And so this pastor writes to these people and says to them, "Do not neglect to meet together, as is a habit of some." We need to come together to encourage one another. We need to gather so that other people can encourage us, can remind us regularly that we are God's beloved children. We need that reminder. I need it at least once a week. And so we can come to this place together once a week and be reminded that we are God's children, we are beloved. Every week we pray that prayer of confession and we hear the words, "You are forgiven." We're offered grace again and again among the people of God. But it's not just encouragement that this pastor points to. Did you hear what he said? We are to provoke one another to good deeds. Now, that word that he uses literally means pester, irritate, poke. So we're supposed to irritate each other. Isn't that good news? That's the way it's designed. We're supposed to hold each other accountable in love, to be part of a trusting community where we can say to one another, "I think that may have been a step out of line. I see this happening in your life or in your spirit, and I just wonder where God is in that for you." Sometimes gently, sometimes not so gently, to provoke one another to good deeds. Which brings me to another reason why it's good for us to gather. It's good for us, but it's good for the world. If we are a group of people gathering every week to be reminded of God's love and grace for us, and if we are encouraging and provoking each other to good deeds out in the world, what a witness that is out in our world. I can't build a Habitat house by myself, but when we gather, we can build a house in just a few days. If we pool our resources and our energy, we can make a huge difference for the poor and the vulnerable in this city and around the world. And not only that, but if we can gather each and every week, Democrats and Republicans, old and young, people of different races and backgrounds and philosophies and opinions, and if we can reach out to one another in love and say, "The peace of Christ be with you," what a witness even that is in our world. I don't know any other place in our culture that that's happening right now, where people with very different opinions are reaching out in love for one another and are sticking together in a community and trying to figure it out. But it's happening in the church, and it needs to happen more. We have a stronger witness when we're together. So gathering is good for us. It's good for the world. But I think at the deepest level, the reason that God designed life this way, that being in relationship with God necessarily means being in relationship with one another, is because that's actually who God is. Our Christian doctrine tells us that God is Trinity: Parent, Child, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. God is three in one. God is, in God's very self, community. God is relationship, love pouring from one to another. God is not one being isolated and detached from all others, but a community of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if that's who God is, then as the people of God, we are called to reflect that in the world. We are called to gather, my brothers and sisters. Let us not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, says the preacher of Hebrews. But let us gather to love one another, that our love and our unity might be a sign of hope to our world and a reflection of the very love of God. Amen. It is good for our souls to join our hearts and voices together in affirming our faith. And we get to do that every Sunday together. So I would invite you now to stand as you're able and turn in your hymnals to number 888 and join with me in affirming our faith. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to God. If you have prayer requests, please fill out the gray card in the pew pad in front of you. Please indicate if you'd like your prayer request to be shared or if they should remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plate in a few moments. We offer our deepest sympathies to the family and friends of Robert Stickley Hines Jr., who died Sunday, February 11th. Services were held at West End on Thursday. Among his survivors is his wife, West End member Mary Hooks. And we mourn with Carol, Paul, Lindsay, and Rachel Ballinger, who are mourning the death of Carol's mother, Barbara Woodard Crawford, who died Sunday, February 11th. Services were held yesterday, Saturday, February 7th, at Cornell Memorial UMC in Goodlettsville. Let us offer both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of all seasons, in your pattern of things, there is a time for keeping and a time for losing, a time for building up and a time for pulling down. In this holy season of Lent, as we journey to the cross, help us to discern in our lives what we must lay down and what we must take up, what we must end, and what we must begin. Give us grace to lead a disciplined life alongside other believers. We give you thanks for friends whom we can practice our faith together. We especially give you thanks for this community, West End UMC, where we can gather together in worship and service. In glad faithfulness and with joy, which comes from a closer walk with Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of God." Let us now go before God with our prayers, trusting in the mercy and grace of God, who hears our prayers and works for our good.
have gathered this morning, been blessed by the presence of one another and the presence of Christ among us. And now let us go to be the body of Christ in the world through the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.